For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined as always by FanSided's MLB Insider Robert Murray. If you liked the Q&A in the Discord today at 3 o'clock Eastern, hope you're coming right from there to here so we can answer more of your questions. If you weren't there, all the more reason to join us in the Discord. We were just live yesterday. We are taking tomorrow off, going live today instead, back on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday grind next week, plus the Tuesday prospect show. That's how you know we've got you covered at the Baseball Insiders. Today, we will be talking a little bit about Tony Clark's comments on the state of baseball, lockout potential. Felt like we should have covered that before the end of the week, so here we go. Roky Sasaki has debuted and looked filthy, and Garrett Crochet yesterday on the other coast in the other league might have been the best pitcher I've seen all spring training, plus more from Robert and your questions. And here to help me through the rest of the episode is FanSided's own Robert Murray. Robert, how you doing, man? Thursday.
It is Thursday. It's a rare Thursday edition of the Baseball Insiders, but I'm excited to be here. We got some good stuff to talk about today. Unfortunately, well, maybe some not good stuff at the same time. So I'm excited to break that all down. Good to be here. Zach Bond's back. I was wearing a Philadelphia Eagles shirt yesterday, so I had to bring it back just provide some juju in case they can bring some other guys back. Talk for like a half hour about Zach Bond and himself, but this is a baseball podcast, so I'm going to stick to baseball. Adam Weiner, how are we doing? Good afternoon. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday, everybody. I smelled a little Zach Bond reunion, I'm going to be honest. Not like I didn't know it was going to happen yesterday, but at the end of the year, I was like, oh, he's a free agent? Yeah, they're going to find a way to bring him back. And there was some Howie Roseman slander in the Discord, and I think maybe no more slander. Because that guy's good at what he does. Andrew, good question. During the regular season, will the show be Monday, Thursday, or still Monday, Wednesday, Friday? We'll get back to you on that for sure, but I think it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think we're doing three shows as long as we can. So we appreciate everybody joining us. As long as you want three shows, we're going to be doing three shows a week. And we'll adjust if we got it. But I think we're going to have fun this year. It's going to be a big year. Still another 3 weeks of spring training. And that means it's time to talk about the moonshot, first of all. Sorry, you guys thought I was going to do the episode without asking you to subscribe to the moonshot. Come on, get real. Give me a break. It's our weekly baseball email newsletter. It went out today, actually. The FanSided MLB team, including Robert Murray, break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, behind-the-scenes info. There's news and notes in there from Robert at the bottom. You can also get that column on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Robert's columns are there. Humor and insight from yours truly, and the best of baseball and pop culture from the FanSided MLB staff writers. So check it out. We'll also have some pretty special stuff getting ready for opening day. And, well, opening day, enjoy them while you got them. Smoke them while you got them. Opening day 2025 appears to be on the way to going off without a hitch in 3 weeks' time. Opening day 2026, you can lock that in too. But 2027, after the 2026 season, I don't know. I'm a little scared. Tony Clark this week didn't really mince words, just sort of had a take on the post-2026 lockout potential. And doesn't it feel like the last lockout was just yesterday? Man, where does the time go? Quote, unless I'm mistaken, the league has come out and said there's going to be a work stoppage per Barry M. Bloom of Sportico. So I don't think I'm speaking out of school in that regard. He is referring to a Rob Manfred quote discussing the leverage associated with an offseason lockout that he gave to Evan Drellick last month and how a lockout can actually be a positive. I disagree. Based on what you've heard, though, consistent with what Tony Clark has been saying and honestly what the league has said, should we be prepared for some form of lockout after 2026? And how long might you expect it to last? This goes hand in hand with everything we talked about on the last show with Adam Duvall, with the smaller contracts, with players who aren't, you know, of massive earning potential getting frustrated. So it felt like a good time to address, hey, there are significant implications to the things that we're talking about on these shows.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like the expectation, even since the last CBA was finalized and figured out, was that once the CBA expired this time around, there'd end up being a lockout. And the fact that Rob Manfred kind of forecasted that, and now we're already seeing like Tony Clark and Manfred like having just contradicting comments, the writing is just on the wall for another lockout. And this one feels like it could end up being a doozy. It could linger for a while, and it's unfortunate, but it's the current reality right now. And I will say, like, Manfred, he said some like unique things in the past, obviously calling the World Series trophy like a hunk of metal. Oops. Obviously wasn't great, but he also praised a lockout as being preferable to in-season negotiations, saying that it's like using a 22 caliber firearm as opposed to using a shotgun or a nuclear weapon. No, I have no idea how that is a real quote either, but that is actually a real thing that he did say. So that is, it's kind of strange, but the reality is that like a lockout appears very likely. It appears almost destined to happen at this point. And it's just a matter of just how long it's going to take. And I don't know, but I think everyone in baseball at this point is bracing for it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, as I listen to that quote and give the biggest sigh of all time, I mean, it's just, yeah, I totally understand what that means. Wouldn't want to use one of those things and not the others. They're all one is good and one is bad. Okay. But hey, when everyone comments, you know, when you spend this offseason, you watch the Dodgers build up the way that they have. And when you watch the Dodgers take advantage of deferrals and then ask, why can't every other team do that? And then some other teams do, big market teams do, you know, Alex Bregman and the Red Sox, there are deferrals in some of the late contracts that have been signed. But certainly not every team can employ that same strategy. And so you see people in the comments of pretty much every large signing and of that caliber saying, we have to figure out this deferral business. We have to figure out what the Dodgers do. We have to figure out how to make revenue sharing more fair, because it exists, but it hasn't prevented there from being teams like the Brewers and Cardinals who don't make signings over the course of an entire offseason, or teams like the Pirates who hard cap themselves at like $84 million payrolls when other teams are running up for $30 million. So all these unresolved issues, people are rightly pointing out, hey, there's a disparity here. Hey, there's stuff that has to be talked out. Sadly, that's why there will be some form of work stoppage at a certain point.
Oh, absolutely. There's destined to be a work stoppage. And like, they're disagreeing on a lot of different things. And obviously the fact that a lot of these teams are just seemingly pocketing their earnings from previous years or this past year and not spending it or investing it in the major league roster, like that's got to be a sign of contention here for the players. And we've even like seen Tony Clark say that he disagrees with Manfred's stance about the firearm, shotgun, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I also, I think I do too. I don't really know what that means, so I disagree.
No, exactly. Like, and Clark disagreed, and this is via Sportico again, and the quote is, players know from firsthand experience that a lockout is neither routine nor positive. It's a weapon, plain and simple, implemented to pressure players and their families by taking away a player's ability to work, which, I mean, it's not wrong. It's, I mean, that's basically owners in the league strong-arming the players and everyone on that side into trying to get what the owners want. And that's just, it's a sad reality. It stinks. But it's just the reality. And it feels like we're going to end up having more pictures of Bob Nightingale handing out bagels to other reporters as we're waiting for some updates on the league stoppage or this league stoppage to end. And Drew, like, it's a good question by you. Like, what does a work stoppage look like for me? Obviously, a big part of what I do is I break news. And in this case, I will be tasked with covering the lockout, trying to get updates into what the current or what those negotiations look like in real time. Obviously, it's a challenge, but it's something I've prepared for over the last year in building up my contact network. So we'll hopefully be able to provide some news on my end into what exactly that all looks like. But it's a way different version of my job now. But as I said, it's something I'm definitely prepared for.
And what does it look like for me? I'm probably going to grow an old-timey mustache and start talking about 1930s baseball highlights because I got nothing. I'm not prepared at all. No, we're going to be doing good content. We'll be looking back on baseball. We'll be crossing our fingers, desperately hoping that things get less contentious and that sides are able to work it out. And that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, fingers crossed, because I mean, the lockout stuff is not fun to cover. Like, it is just a bore. But it did, as I mentioned before, it led to that picture of Bob Nightingale handing out bagels to other reporters. So that's that's a win in itself, because that's a legendary picture. By the way, I want to take this moment here. Speaking of Bob Nightingale, he is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. Like, I know people give him crap for his typos and all his different like blurry pictures or whatever, but mm-hmm. Bob is genuinely one of the coolest people I've met. So shout out to Bob Nightingale.
And he is not alone in the blurry picture game either. Like, there are plenty of beat writers who are taking photographs from the International Space Station of Devin Williams' first Yankees bullpen session. So Bob Nightingale is not the only one who deserves blame there.
No, John Heyman is also very good for a blurry picture. I've seen him take pictures, and like, he does like the classic dad thing where he just zooms in real close on the picture. Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad. But
it is hard to at spring training, especially, to manage the chain link fence. I will give these guys credit for like, hey, you're trying to take a photo of somebody warming up on a backfield. You got to zoom through that little chain link. Otherwise it's going to fuck up your whole picture. Like, I feel your pain, but at the same time, beat writers, you got to get better. You got to work. You have a whole lockout to work on it. By 2027, I want to see good, clean photography.
No. And we're already starting to see with the younger generation starting to take over. Like, I think three of the better guys that are like with taking pictures, Justice De Los Santos, who covers mm-hmm. the Giants, Kurt Hoge over in Milwaukee. And I can't believe I'm giving him praise on this podcast, but Fabi Nardaya, he's very good at taking pictures. So shout out to Fobs for that.
I'm on Kurt's feed right now. He's taking a Abner Uribe video from yesterday. It's, you know, horizontal, not vertical. It's steady. Clearly he's got a good press box seat. He's probably propped it up, not holding it. Credit to everybody who's checked in here, who doesn't have, you know, MLB official highlights and got to make the content themselves. Getting better every day. That's all he asks. It's gotta get,
all that matters, for sure.
Gotta get better. What can I do today that I wasn't doing yesterday? How did I blur this yesterday? How can I unblur it moving forward? But good work, strong work from the next generation. And speaking of, right into Rogi Sasaki's debut. Because, 2026 is intimidating, but it's also not now. We've got two seasons to play. And look, the Dodgers get Rogi Sasaki. Everybody says, okay, now this is unfair. Like, it's getting ridiculous. Then people push back and say, well, you know, the fastball velocity was down last year. He's just a kid. Maybe he starts in the minors. Too soon to pencil the Dodgers in as world champs. You know, I'm not even a Sasaki believer. You know, all the people who want to get on their island. Like, I actually never believed in his frame. Okay, sure. Well, his first start at spring training is 99 miles an hour. So if he asked the Dodgers how to fix his fastball, they might have fixed it by appearance number one. His best pitch is the splitter, just a casual 87% whiff rate and 7 swings and misses. It's just one game. It's a game that doesn't count. Still, it was a showcase for someone we've been hearing a lot about but not seeing. And I definitely didn't. It's not like I entered the game as a non-believer in the Dodgers, but it definitely made them a little bit scarier to me. I don't know if it made them even more terrifying to you as well.
Yeah, if he can end up like doing what he does, he's going to make them just way more dangerous. And like, obviously you expect a learning curve coming to Major League Baseball, coming from overseas here, but so there's going to be growing pains. It's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows here for a guy like Rogi Sasaki. But the element that he provides to that team is, we're talking, if he reaches his ceiling, we're talking about a number one type pitcher, possibly a top five pitcher in baseball. Like, his ceiling is extraordinarily high. And the fact that the Dodgers got him on a minor league contract is absolutely just crazy to me. And he looked awesome in his first start. He even admitted that he noticed some different things that were different here as to compared to where he was last year. Like, when he makes a mistake, he could get away with it when he was pitching overseas. Here, like, they'll be able to take advantage of that. And they were also taking some of his splits. So, I mean, it's like a couple of different things that they noticed there. But I can tell you, like, Dodgers people were very impressed with what they ended up seeing there, and people around the game who ended up seeing what he was doing. They couldn't believe they still can't believe that he's a part of the Dodgers at this point. But it's the reality. It's, as I said, there's going to be growing pains here with Sasaki, but he's a really talented piece. And the fact that he's on that team, I mean, it's kind of just, as I said, I've said it a million times throughout the offseason, they kind of resemble an all-star team at this point.
And yeah, every day you're focusing on somebody else. Like at any other camp, you'd be writing about Dustin May's remarkable comeback from that emergency esophagus surgery. And you'd be writing about Ben Kasparius, like showing out and showing reworked stuff and trying to take that last bullpen spot. And here it's just like, they're both huge stories and complete afterthoughts, because you've got the ability to, on a random Tuesday night in early March, go Yamamoto for four, Sasaki for three, and just like, good night. This is what we're able to do right now. We're going to hopefully do this all year long. And even with the, you know, half of a lineup, it still can't miss television. Yeah, not that I thought Sasaki wouldn't be great, but it was definitely an early reminder of like, oh, he's way ahead of these major league hitters. So, okay, buckle up.
Yeah, and like that was another part of why he ended up signing with the Dodgers, is their ability to end up getting the most out of these pitchers. And we saw it last year with Yamamoto. Obviously, you got the familiarity there with Yamamoto and Ohtani. But they have such a good, strong track record of being able to maximize pitchers. And they saw exactly what they did there. And he thought they could end up doing it for himself as well. And he focused on what he does best. He primarily threw four seamers and splitters. But I even saw there was one player from the Reds who mentioned that his splitters, like he's got two different splitters that he was throwing, and it kept him off balance. And if he can effectively mix those pitches and also continue to add other pitches that are consistently into that mix, it's just going to make him even more dangerous. He's far from a finished product, but the early returns on it look very, very promising. But that being said, I know we're talking about him looking great. But pitchers are way ahead of hitters at this point. It just, that's how it is early into spring training. So let's not get ahead of ourselves, but obviously you have every right to be optimistic about where Sasaki stands at this point.
And speaking of pitchers being ahead of hitters, Garrett Crochet was ahead of every Ray he faced yesterday and then blew them away and set them down. So I do want to give love to the East Coast and the veteran in after Sasaki making his first appearance. Look, Crochet has barely had a full season as a starter. The potential and the ability to maybe get him at a quote-unquote relative discount for a long-term extension, that's why the Red Sox traded the package they did for him, which was a somewhat ridiculous package, but fair value. You know, a lot of talent going Chicago's way, but also there's only one Garrett Crochet. There he is. 7 Ks in 3 innings against the Rays. Just hossed his way there on Wednesday. I watched Walker Buehler, too, shove in just a 2-inning sample. I was sort of on record. Only a couple weeks ago, I think I said I believe in Buehler more this year than Crochet. That's going to be a tough one to justify, but it doesn't mean – it just means I believe in Buehler, and I'm going to stand by that. I think they're both going to have big years. But what are your expectations for Crochet's and Buehler's Red Sox as we sort of head towards opening day? That was the other one that opened my eyes this week.
Yeah, I'm going to side with you on the Walker Buehler hype. And I'm not going to put him above Crochet like you did. I think that's like it's pretty bold, but I respect bold. I like bold. Bold is good. Go ahead.
No, I said bold is beautiful. That's it.
No, I mean, it is beautiful. It absolutely is beautiful. And like we saw what Buehler ended up doing in the postseason last year, and he was instrumental in that postseason run for the Dodgers. And going into the offseason, it was pretty clear that he was going to leave LA. And the writing was on the wall for it. But what we saw in the postseason last year and his ability to get outs in key situations is he looked a lot more like pre-injury Walker Buehler than he had did earlier in the year. And I was thinking after that, he could end up being in a real spot to either cash in or take a 1-year contract to really prove himself. To try to end up making it big the next year. And he ended up going the short-term route. I thought it was absolutely brilliant by him. I would not be surprised whatsoever if Buehler absolutely just dominates this year and ends up having a season that just launches him into a 9-figure contract. If we're 100+ mil, I mean, yeah, we'll see exactly how high it gets. I don't want to throw a number out there but whatever. Like, I think he's got a real shot of just having a great year. And same with Crochet. Like, this one's a lot more obvious, especially considering the year that he had with Chicago last year. And his arm is going to be more built up. He's going to end up, like, he's going to be pitching in a postseason environment there in Boston, a lot better than where he was last year with the White Sox. And I firmly expect Crochet to be in the Cy Young conversation. I mentioned it last year with how people were just praising him up and down. I've heard nothing but praise from his early time here with the Red Sox. So we'll see. But the early returns on both of those guys appear to be really, really, really strong. And I think Red Sox fans have every right to be optimistic about those guys, because there's a very real chance that at least one of them is going to end up being their long-term future. And maybe they try to extend Crochet. I don't know. They showed he was obviously open to it with last year at the trade deadline when all that stuff was going on. So that'd be something, if I was Red Sox, I'd prioritize trying to get done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, good for Boston. They've got Bayo and Crawford behind and facing injury issues of some degree, you know, serious more or less than others. But pitching, regardless, is no longer a problem that I foresee for that organization. I'm not going to be like king pessimist on the Yankees and be like, last year's World Series team is terrible now. I think they've got holes. I think they've got issues. I think they're a really good team. But I think the clear class of the American League, the Red Sox belong there. The Rangers belong there. I feel a little bit better about the Red Sox and the Yankees than I do the Orioles. And I understand that might come back to bite me at a certain point. But Gunnar Henderson hopes to be ready for opening day. Hopes to doing a lot of work there. Like, we're 3 weeks ahead of opening day. Who knows if he's his best self? I'm still sort of and there's a comment about Emiliano Teodo having a nasty spring for the Rangers. He has, and he's been out of the bullpen. I have more faith in sort of the Red Sox, Rangers, Yankees, Astros than I do the Orioles at this point. And I'm ready to put Boston into that mix.
I'm right there with you on that one too. And they're going to have some of these young guys debuting too, like Roman Anthony. I mean, they got a bunch of different guys that are, I mean, they have obviously a lot of talent on that roster now, but they're going to have some of these top prospects debuting, and it's up to them to figure out exactly what the infield logjam, especially, like how exactly they're going to deploy it. But this is a team that I still don't necessarily agree with the Chaim Bloom firing. I will be honest with that. I think he was dealt a really tough hand, because he ended up rebuilding that farm system into just a tank, and we're going to see the rewards for it. This year, obviously, they traded a lot of that talent away, and or a lot of the minor league talent away in that Garrett Crochet deal. But I'm very high on what that future looks like for Boston, and that future honestly is right now. And it was reflected in their moves for getting Crochet, getting Walker Buehler, and getting some of these other guys, like especially Bregman too. And I'm very high on them. Like, it's clear that they're trying to get to the postseason now. They think that they can win a World Series, and honestly, like, they have the manager, they have the talent to do so, and I hope that they contend. And then if they're strongly in the World Series hunt come the trade deadline, they go all in and try to figure that out. But yeah, I'm very high on what the Red Sox are doing, and I'm glad you think so too, because you and I are typically are on the same page with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, look, it pains me to say that I think they look great, but I think they did all they had to this offseason. I think they had the foundation there already. One more thing I want to touch on before we sign off and just throw this your way, because it does feel like the Red Sox have obviously been connected to pitching upgrades for a while. They go out and sign Buehler on the short term and get Crochet maybe for 2 years or maybe for longer, but big, big trade for Crochet, blockbuster trade for Crochet. They can make another one if they wanted to, but they did put their flag in the grass on Crochet. Sandy Alcantara is the other name who had been tied to Red Sox fans who are looking long-term and saying, what can we do with this farm system overflow? Hey, maybe the Marlins want to make a deal. I don't know if that's going to be the fit now, especially given their needs, but the Marlins made it pretty clear this week. We usually take them to task. They're being prudent here. They are limiting Alcantara's workload early, sort of the opposite of what the White Sox did with Crochet last year, where he said, you know, if I'm getting traded somewhere, I'm not pitching in the postseason without a long-term guarantee. They're sort of limiting Alcantara early so that teams maybe looking into him for a deadline deal are comfortable and confident down the stretch that they are going to be able to get someone who can finish the year strong and force their way through October if all goes well. Just sort of wanted your thoughts on that. It does feel like the writing's been on the wall there for a while, but the Marlins made it even more obvious this week, basically saying, we know what you want. We're going to give you what you want. You know, we're going to take it easy on Sandy, and then we'll really be full go when you want to see him and go get him.
No, that's spot on. That's exactly right. And like, I know there's been buzz. I think even today that I saw that they could end up trading Alcantara before opening day, like no shot. Like he's not getting moved before opening day. But come the trade deadline, if he's healthy, I would firmly expect him to be like the top name available or one of the top names available. Like he is going to have a very strong market. Cause when he's healthy, there's not a better pitcher in baseball. Like he's flat out awesome. And he's also signed to an extremely team friendly deal as well, which makes his value even more enticing. And the Marlins, like they can end up getting a haul for him. They've traded away a lot of their best players in recent years, especially the last year at the deadline. They traded seemingly almost everyone. I thought they were going to trade Craig Mish at one point. They were trading almost everybody. It was crazy. And then in this offseason, when I was up north in the Northwoods, I got the text that as I was hopping into the shower that they traded Jesus Luzardo. So that was kind of crazy. So, it's been a fire sale basically ever since Peter Bendix ended up going over there. But he's gotten some real strong talent in the for their minor league system. I really like the trade they made with Baltimore where they got Connor Norby and another prospect. And if all goes according to plan, I think Alcantara is going to end up being part of that mix come the trade deadline. But I definitely do not think like the one guy I don't expect them to trade is Yuri Perez. I would firmly expect him to stay in Miami.
Yeah, he will theoretically be the one to step into Alcantara's shoes probably at some point. But yeah, it feels good to see that good work get rewarded early. Incredible pitcher and just remarkably consistent and efficient pitcher. So hopefully we get the best version of him and that momentum starts to build as we get into the summer months and he can end up somewhere where he can really shine on a national stage. Come to the Yankees. Pinstripes look good on you. Robert Murray, fun show. Even though we spent 10 minutes talking about really sad shit at the top, still, I had fun. I hope everyone else did as well. We will see you back here on Monday afternoon. On Tuesday's Prospect Show, we should have a big interview. So stay tuned for that. That'll be fun. Spoiler, teaser. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Adam Weiner, Robert Murray here on the Baseball Insiders. We could not do it without you, Robert.
No, yeah, we can't do it without you. I appreciate you, Adam. I appreciate you moving us to Thursday instead of Friday because Adam is flying out for some fun stuff today, starting this weekend. So, Adam, safe travels. Have an absolute blast. I'm going to a spring training game tonight. One of my buddies, Grant, who is usually in the comments over here, he's moving to Chicago. And this is part of his goodbye to all the friend group out here. So, Grant, we love you. Go Birds. And yeah, we will see everyone back here on Monday. But Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. And Joanne, our lovely producer, we appreciate you. And we'll see everyone back here on Monday.
Sure will. Monday, same time you're used to on all audio platforms as well. See those numbers ticking up. And to that, I say sick. Rate, review us, do whatever you are compelled to. We would love to see you back here on Monday in the Discord, in the Baseball Insiders community. Follow us on socials. Follow us on TikTok, Fanside MLB. Instagram, Fanside MLB. Until Monday's show, we'll be hanging out. We'll just be on this stream for 72 hours. So we'll see you on Monday. We'll be right back here. Take care, everybody.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.